You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
That's correct. It's time for Audio Culture on 95BFM. Thank you, Audio Culture, for allowing us to nerd out every second Tuesday.
It's a nerd show for nerds.
Nerd show for nerds. We love it. We're very, very lucky to be joined by local legend and owner of Whammy Bar, Lucy McRae, on air. Kia ora, Lucy. How are you?
Kia ora. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
So good. Thank you so much for joining us to chat a little bit about the Save Our Venues movement. It's such a beautiful thing that came out of a really hard time, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We were Save Our Venues, which, as you said, came out of COVID. And over the 5 years, we are now a collective called Independent Music Venues Aotearoa. So we've taken the Save out of the name, and we're now celebrating and advocating for these venues.
Mm, beautiful. I want to sort of place us back in 2020. I know that it was a turbulent time, to say the least, for everybody, but I just want to hear from you about how that time felt as a venue owner.
Yeah, I mean, it was a wild time, as it was for everybody. We had no lead-in time. We didn't know what was going to happen. I just remember literally sort of getting the staff and everybody together one day and kind of saying that we're not going to open tomorrow and we don't know when we're going to reopen. And then we all left and went home, and that was the reality. And it was isolated. It was Whammy Bar. That was our reality. I remember Reb Fountain calling a few days later and saying that she thought we should do a boosted campaign to raise money, and we'd talked that through before, but it felt at the time, it, you know, everybody was going through this, or their version of this, and it just felt weird. It felt weird to be asking for money when everybody's lives were uncertain. And I think Reb's words were, but if you're not there when we open back up, then what am I going to do? Mm. You know, we need to. And that was a really big moment for me and for Whammy Bar. And it was kind of like, yeah, we are an ecosystem. We're not just individuals. And that kind of started it. So we had some wonderful people come together, Matthew Crawley, Ruben Bonner from Banished Music, Reb Fountain. It was myself and Tom and Rowan from the Wine Cellar at the time. And we with a lot of hard work behind the scenes, you know, I'm going to say this and make it sound easy, but we started a boosted campaign, and it had the tagline, "We love Whammy Wine Cellar." And overnight, we put that out across socials, and I don't know what we were expecting, but overnight we made, you know, we had donations. There was $50,000 worth of donations, which was absolutely mind blowing.
Yeah.
So then we put in a stretch goal of $100,000, and we made that stretch goal as well. And then, you know, the going back to what Reb said, it highlighted that people need live music. Mm. So that was the start of Save Our Venues. We were able to reach out to venues around the country. Some who had started already on, you know, putting their own campaigns together, but by unifying them all and putting them under this umbrella and being able to bring a bit of attention and light to media attention and light to them, it would kind of just strengthened everybody's campaign.
Beautiful. I mean, it's so amazing to hear that this story starts with like the venues and the artists coming together to find a solution moving forward. It's a beautiful symbiotic relationship between artists and venues, isn't it?
Totally. And I think that's why we use the word ecosystem so much, because that's exactly what it is.
Mm. It must have felt as well, like as a venue, when you have an artist coming to you saying that, it's almost like, solidifies your sort of importance and your right to be there. And to, I know you said it sort of felt a bit weird asking for money at first, but it's like, this is actually a really important thing that we're doing. It's quite validating.
Absolutely. It was extremely validating. And through it, over the last 5 years, as we've gone from Save Our Venues to INVA, and we've met other venue owners around the motu, that's exactly what sort of has come out of it is it's really validating, and being able to all of the other venue owners, whether they be in Gisborne or Dunedin, to kind of say you matter, you're important, we need you.
Kia ora, Lucy, it's Nick here. That was a really good reminder of the importance of independent venues too, because you know Red Fountain's playing the Town Hall on a most recent gig, but without independent music venues, you can't get to that level. It's like a stepping stone. Is that
Absolutely.
Something that you're seeing with the awareness of independent music venues? More awareness around that aspect of it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that came out with that initial campaign as well. We had the Beths, we had Marlon Williams, Red Fountain, obviously. There was a large contingent of Aotearoa musicians who were saying that exact thing, that was their incubators. You know, it's where they practice their craft, it's where they got good at it, it's where they built their audiences, it's a place where audiences can come and find out about these artists. So absolutely.
So cool. And I mean, reading this audio culture article that Gareth Schutz put together, it really does feel like you see all the names that got on board and involved with this. It's sort of like the Aotearoa music Avengers uniting to save our venues. It's a pretty special group of people that came together to work on this.
Yeah. So, and I think you mentioned before that we had venues and artists, and also within that group we had music promoters as well. So going back to the ecosystem and how important each one is to the other was really highlighted from day one with that group of people.
And so the Boosted got set up and then sort of had really, really consistent support from people. What was the sort of, was there a turning point of like, okay, this is a thing that, you know, we need to keep doing even when the crisis is sort of past?
Yeah, that was always in discussion, and quite COVID lasted a couple of years, so the crisis was around for a little while. And then we were about ready to change our name, going from the Save Our Venues to Inver, when the cyclones on the East Coast happened as well. And so one of our, you know, another thing that we did as Save Our Venues was come together and raise money for those East Coast music venues, who I think we talk about in the audio culture article. They came together for their communities. They, you know, they weren't having gigs, they couldn't have gigs, but they were doing food drives, they were clothing banks, they were bringing their communities together and creating safe spaces for them. So that's, it just kind of highlighted as we've gone on all of the importance that music venues do. And so going from needing to save them, which is always there, but just changing it. And so we need to celebrate them and we need to advocate for them.
And then there was sort of a little bit of the changing of the guard, maybe with some of the people involved, right? Like Ruben Bonner was at the forefront of things for a wee while and then passed on to Steve Newell.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So Steve came on. And then we brought Taylor McGregor, another BFMer, on.
Yeah.
That was a couple of years ago as well. So there was a bit of a changing of the guard, but there's consistent good people working behind the scenes, making sure that this moves forward. And it's always got new energy.
And working really hard as well. Like I hadn't really thought about it that much until I got to the part of the article that like talks about Ruben's experience feeling a little bit like, you know, there wasn't an option to just sit back and be in awe of the pandemic. It was like, okay, you got to keep working and find a solution to the crisis. And yeah, carrying on in crisis mode must have been a tricky transition into, okay, how do we make this a sustainable thing that can provide long-term support?
Yeah, the carrying on in, within that crisis mode, I think the group of people who got together are the type of people who need to carry on. I think we all would have collapsed if we'd had just sat down in the pandemic. So I think it saved us as much as we were saving the venues. And then the carrying on, it just really highlighted how important this was. I remember we had our first venue summit, and it must have been in 22, when all of the music venues from around the Motu came together, and how empowering and incredible that was. And so again, it just highlighted we need to carry on. We need to do this.
Must have really strengthened a lot of the relationships with different venue owners from across different parts of the Motu, right? Like I'm not sure if many venue owners across different parts of Aotearoa would know one another super well prior to this?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it did do. I think that's been one of the most beautiful things about IMVA, is that music venues are all talking to each other, and we know that we share so many of the same issues, but we also share so many of the same attributes. Like, we're all music lovers, we're all community driven, we work really hard, we don't get paid much, all of that sort of thing, and so being able to share those experiences and know that you're not alone is really powerful.
And so you spoke a little bit about Cyclone Gabrielle and the sort of ongoing work when crises do arise, but what sort of work is IMVA doing at the moment?
Yeah, so there's obviously less of the crises management, but we are carrying on the work of Save Our Venues, and we're expanding it, and we're advocating for regulatory reform policies that nurture and sustain live music venues, working alongside other organisations both in New Zealand and overseas to create that evidence-based policy change, getting a lot of data together that shows how much live music contributes not only to the economy but to health and well-being of the people who are involved in it, and then just really using all of this to advocate for change as we see fit or as needed.
And the impacts are pretty far-reaching as well. Like, there's been sort of an increase in funding for stuff, is that right?
Well, we've actually lost funding.
Oh no.
Well, not us as an organization, but as arts organisations, we've lost funding with the current government, I guess, with some of these changes. So that's something that we're needing to recognise and be able to make some change within, and being able to go out there and kind of look at how we can get more funding for these really important venues, music venues.
It's a constant battle, isn't it?
It is.
It must have felt, coming into this new period for Whammy and Double Whammy and the very sad death of the wine cellar, but the very exciting birth of Double Whammy, it must have felt pretty amazing to have this sort of newfound sense of community amongst music venues going through that period of change.
Totally. I don't know if we would have... necessarily had the strength, the courage to do Double Whammy if we didn't have this organisation behind us.
And does it provide a sort of sense of hope that, even though things are hard with funding and everything, that there is a beautiful community there moving forward?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it does do. And it also just means that we don't sort of sit aside and worry about the future. There's power in being able to work towards a better future.
I think that's a pretty hopeful note to end on, perhaps.
I hope so.
Yeah, constant fight, but it's a good fight, and we appreciate you keeping up the good fight, Lucy.
Back at ya.
Thanks. I think we should listen to a track from Red Fountain, because of course she's playing on BFM Breakfast tomorrow, but I think it's beautiful that she was sort of involved from the get-go with the Save Our Venues campaign.
Absolutely. A big supporter.
Let's listen to Nothing Like from Red Fountain. Thank you so much, Lucy McRae, for joining us. Thank you, Audio Culture. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
A bad dream to wake the dead when I get.
like longing to want to forget. A desert to fuel your thirst. You don't have to be good to know it hurts. Nothing like regret for what it's worth.
Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.
That sure was Audio Culture.